I want to talk about the tomb could not hold him. I don't know if you know what you have in Jesus Christ. I sometimes forget because, you know, you just get busy and you don't really realize that every hour, every moment of every day, Jesus Christ is working in our behalf. The title of the lesson is The Tomb Could Not Hold Him. Whenever I die, they'll dig a hole somewhere and put me in it, and that's where I'll be. But the good news is, because Jesus was also in a grave from death, he arose on the third day, and I will tell you, of his own power. And in doing that, he gave you and I, us, an opportunity to live with him forever. Easter is not about eggs and chickens and cute little things, and though all that's fun, what it's about is death turns to life, and that's what we have. John 20, 11 to 18 says that Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels dressed in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They've taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, please tell me where you've put him and I'll go get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. "Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Easter is not about chickens and get-togethers. Easter is remembering that God died on our behalf. He was 3 days dead in the tomb, and of his own power walked out of that grave. Every one of us in this room, if we live long enough, if the end of life don't come first, or end of the world, whatever you want to call it, you're going to die. It's going to happen. It's just going to happen. Funeral homes testify to it every day. I've been in almost every funeral home in this whole area, and I have never yet seen anybody get up and leave that had been dead. These were remarkable words Jesus spoke to Mary Magdalene on that morning of the resurrection. I love Peter and John. John was a little cooler than the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter was one of those guys who would jump at anything before he thought about it. Old John, he'd lay back, he'd think about it a little bit. This is what's going on at the tomb. Peter and John had rushed to the tomb in a breathless run, didn't find Jesus there. There would be a visit in the upper room with the 11 in a short time, and then it's going to be a week later before promise gets in on it. But for now, it's not about these guys. It's all about Mary. Scriptures will speak of our future hope in time to come. But here, all eyes are on this girl, Mary. The critical point that we must embrace is that because Jesus has risen, listen to me carefully, because Jesus has risen, we shall also raise. Jesus didn't do this just for himself. He did it for everybody who would follow him. As far as destinies are concerned, we're always, if I've been asked, I think I told you I quit counting at 300 and something funerals. But I bet you I have been asked 200 times, do you think my mama made it? Do you think my daddy made it? I mean, I've been in that world. Let me tell you what, I don't have the stuff to make you make it, but he does. And when you have someone who raises from the dead of their own power, that's the one you want to look at. Far as destinies are concerned, neither Jesus or any other seem to speak specifically about them. If you watch what churchendom does, you know what churchendom is? That's what, just kind of like a cover over all churches. My so-and-so died and went to heaven. That's not so. When you die, you go to the grave. You can get Paul to tell you plenty about that. He's got lots to say. We have invited ourselves into realms when our death that God never invited us to. But here's the deal. When you die, you will sleep until the resurrection. And on the day God calls the resurrection, all of those who are asleep in Jesus, what's going to happen? They're going to raise from the dead. They're not going to float up like haints. This is not a holy haint show. They're going to stand back up and they're going to live again. And we're going to be a part of that. That's the good in all of this. All of us in this room's going to die if Lord don't come first. Don't get too hyped up about it. You're just going to be one of the others that come along. You're coming back. This is not over because you die. Things like destinies are left to be worked out along the way. You cannot predict any one thing that God's going to do for you special that he doesn't do for everybody else in his covenant. The urgency in this passage is not about our personal or ultimate destiny, and it shouldn't be. The passage shouts out four very tremendous things we better know. Number one, Jesus is really alive again. Number two, since that is true, he must really be the Messiah, the one true Lord of the world. This is not Mickey Mouse stuff. This is big stuff. Number three that comes out of that, God's new creation has come, and we're living in that. Number four, now you and I have an urgent and important job to do, and we get to do it with a brand new identity. The whole matter here for us to see through the eyes of Mary Magdalene, the heart of the message presented, I think it's really interesting, the character God chose in this. She had to be seeing herself is drawing all kind of conclusions. Jesus had, in fact, raised from the dead of his own power. And since then, the world's a different place. She was called, she was called to become a witness of the resurrection. She was also called to be the announcer. In the Old Testament and New Testament times, you didn't hear much from women. Well, this is different. She was called to make it happen in her own life and in her life of all creation so that the new life could sweep over the darkness and bring light into the world, while she herself, as we are, would be remade in the process. How can you fault a God who took every broken thing in our lives and turned it around and made it work? That's what our God does. But what does Mary see? She's blinded by the moment. I mean, this is big stuff happening. And if you were there, you wouldn't be hearing about it from where you read it in the Bible and all of that, and you've heard this before. You would be living it right then for the first time. She's blinded by the moment. She's blinded by the rushing of Peter and John to the grave in the darkness, only to find it empty. Now she's confused about that. Peter and John's confused about it, blinded by her own fear that someone somewhere had stolen the body and desecrated it. See, in those times, if you were considered somebody important, that people hated you, they liked for you to get dead and be just buried and nobody knew where you were. She's blinded by her own tears. And if that's not big enough and bad enough, all of a sudden, two angels appear. Now, I live with an angel, you understand? But it's not the same kind of angel. That would get me. Do you think it'd get you if an angel appeared all of a sudden? Through her tears and her anxious moments, she sees the figure of a man asking her why she's crying, thinking him to be the gardener. I mean, she's got tears just boiling out of her eyes, and here's a guy. She pleads her fear. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him. I'll go get him. Jesus speaks. Maria. If you were to put her whole name, real name, in the context of ancient Hebrew history, her name would sound like Miriam. Miriam. Do you remember in Bible history anybody named Miriam? Do you remember what she did and that for which she was most known? She was the song leader there. Sing your song, Miriam. Let the world know the victory of the Lord Jehovah. There's a new promised land. You and I live in a new promised land. Listen to the words of Miriam's song and hear them closely. Exodus 15, 1 and 2. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength, my defense. He has become my salvation. He's my God. I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Do you remember that she was the sister of Moses, the leader of the Exodus? Boy, you've got stuff going on all over this book. And people that don't want to take time to look at the book and see those things are missing so, so much. Do you remember the wild, outlandish song she sang on crossing the Red Sea after watching the God of Israel destroy the Egyptian army in the waters as they crashed back together? You remember that? It is Miriam Magdalene, who now is to shout out to the nations of the risen Lord. God himself who destroyed death through an empty tomb. Jesus Christ, when he rose, destroyed death. Will you still die? But what's the good side? You don't stay dead. That's what this is about. Go, he said to my brothers, and tell him I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. In Exodus 15, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He's become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him, my Father's God. I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers were drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank like the depths, like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you and unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. Does that sound like God's cleaning house? By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. And the enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I'll divide the spoils. I'll gorge myself on them. I'll draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew your breath and the sea covered them. You don't mess with God. You don't mess with God's people. This is critical stuff. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who's like you, majestic in holiness and awesome in glory and working in wonders? You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemy. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed in your strength, and you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble, and anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized and trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away, and terror and dread will fall on them. God says, don't mess with me. Don't mess with my people. By the power of your arm, they will be still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord. Until your people pass by. All of that activity of ruin and all of that that was mentioned, God stops everything for you and says, y'all come on by. You'll bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. The place, Lord, you made your dwelling and sanctuary, Lord, your hands established, and the Lord reigns forever and ever. Sing your song, Miriam. Let the world know the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a new promised land. Listen to the words of Miriam's song and hear it well. Sing your song, girl. Let the world know the victory of God Almighty. There is a promised land. It's as if Jesus is saying, I'm your Moses who parted the dark waters of death, and I'm leading the way home to the new promised land. So sing that song, girl. Sing it loud. Immediately, Mary sees and recognizes Jesus through a different set of eyes, just as we should do. I'm telling you today, because Jesus beat the grave, we will beat the grave. How should she respond? She grabs hold to Jesus, if you read the text, and she don't want to let him go. It was he who brought her new life to her miserable existence. It is now she who will sing the message of new life to others. Jesus said in verse 17, do not hold to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. There are several essentials of redemption of Jesus that must be considered, but there's one major issue. In the ascension, he took his rightful place at the right hand of his Father to make one special point. Ascension does not mean absence. It means sovereignty. In percent, 1 to 100%. How much does Jesus own? All of it. And so when you put your allegiance in Christ, see, you're getting a package deal. Everything he has, he gives to you. Jesus says, don't hold on to me. Mary says, I've seen the Lord. You remember Thomas's comment when he came face to face with Jesus as Mary had done? John 20 and verse 28. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. You know what this church needs to hear from Jesus Christ? My Lord and my God. Mary was a woman. That's a strike in ancient Israel. Women weren't allowed to say much of anything. All of that changed, by the way. So don't try to go back there. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. You know what God's church needs to say to him? My Lord and my God. Easter isn't about rabbits. Let me tell you something. Today, we need to let people know, and it may shock them to know, that Jesus Christ is power over everything in creation, seen and unseen. We get to where we center on churches, which is right church, the better church, that church over there is not very good, all that kind of stuff. Does it really shock anybody to know that in your mind you are in the right church? Do people just go, what? Does that shock people? No. Does it, however, shock people to know that the one who is the Savior of the world was dead and alive again and working in the lives of people today? That's what your Easter is, the resurrection of the Messiah. He didn't have to go to the doctor. He didn't have to wait in long lines to get some kind of shot or medicine. All he had to do was speak, and the world was made. Jesus didn't get sick, and when he died on purpose, so that purpose could turn around and touch itself to people like you and me. And we could stand up in the presence of anybody and say to anybody, I'm not worth killing. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ made life worth living. And that's the end of the story, the church said. Amen.